Thanks for being with us here in the second hour of the Morning Tailgate Raider Nation Radio. Vinny Bonsignor, Vince Sapienza, Clay Baker with you in this hour. Be listening around 8:30. We'll give you a chance to win $400 brought to you by Paul Petalaw. It's our tailgate pick'em. It is now rolled over to $400. Nevada residents only. All you got to do is pick three winners.
That's it.
Three straight up winners. I mean, last week, Felix went 2-1. He had the Texans and didn't work out. But so far, so good. As this thing rolls on, you got to pick three winners. No spreads, no totals, just cash money for straight up wins. And this week, it's tough. There are some very compelling games. So you got to get your thinking caps on. We'll do it around 8:30.
Who picked the Texans last week? Poor Felix.
Felix,
whoever,
man,
took his advice.
What Felix did I say about Brian Flores having something up
Nobody
his
remembers, Vinny.
For CJ
Nobody
Stroud.
Remembers.
But honestly, like, Brian Flores, man, is... Again, if he wasn't suing the NFL, would this not be the hottest ticket in town right now to be a head coach? Maybe somebody that learned his lesson in Miami.
He probably would have been in a different job if he wasn't suing the NFL. He probably
for
would
sure.
Have, he might have had a head coaching job last cycle.
Probably.
So,
probably.
Not against the Packers this week, though.
But what he's done, I mean, that's the defense that held the Raiders scoreless, right? It was 3-0, was that game?
Yeah.
It was obviously an embarrassment and a debacle, but the more you look at what the Vikings are doing defensively and the more cleverness that he's showing that's just you know, wreaking havoc with NFL quarterbacks, CJ Stroud is one of the best young quarterbacks in this game, and he looked kind of clueless last week against the Vikings, throwing interceptions and just not being on top of his game. Speaking of which, real quick, I got to get this. How quickly are you ever surprised about how quick fans just want to fire coaches?
I'm being honest,
yeah.
No.
Like there's a lot of calls right now to fire Luke Getsy. But I ask you, what does that serve at this point? The Raiders have had three offensive coordinators, four or five if you count interim offensive coordinators, since 2021. Six if you count three and five if you count the interim. That doesn't serve anybody well. This constant starting all over and installing a new offense. Does anybody out there understand the disservice that does?
No, they don't. Players? That's why they.
I know, but I'm asking you to shed some. You know, I know. That's a rhetorical question,
yeah,
Vince.
You're questioning like why the fans react in such extreme ways.
Okay, so I'll ask you: is it time to fire Luke Getsy, and why is or isn't it, Vince?
Definitely not. Because if there's one thing that teams talk about all the time, and the reason for the reason why there are issues within organizations is because of lack of continuity. Yeah. We talk about, you know, streamlining processes. We hear all the time, you know, on a macro level, you want your GM, your head coach kind of coming in at the same time so they're on the same page so they can have continuity and time to build whatever their vision is and what they're going to build. There's no difference here with when it comes to Tom Telesco, Antonio Pierce, and his staff. And that includes Luke Getsy. And things aren't going to look right week one, two, or three. Were we hoping that things would look a different way?
Fair.
Absolutely.
Right.
Can you question how it looks right now? But for fans to sit there and call for jobs and things like that, does it surprise me? No.
Right. Neither does me. That's why it's a rhetorical question.
But in terms of, I mean, should they? Absolutely not. I mean, how
Where
many
are you going to turn at this point?
But who's available?
That's what I'm saying.
Who are you going to say, all right, we have a better job?
People say,
are you going to go get Bill Belichick
right
now?
Joe Philbin's on the set. You know,
Marvin Lewis is on the set, too. You got a bunch of
They're all there
coaches.
Talking about it and giving their input.
Yeah, so it's not like Luke Getsy's in a room by himself saying, this is how it's going to be, and then he spits it out to the rest of the team. It is, you talk about, we hear the word collaborative, and that might get overused from time to time with different, you know, it's a collaborative effort, but as a group here on this show that covers this team and sees it firsthand, this is a true collaborative coaching staff. I mean, Antonio Pierce has talked a lot about how when he makes decisions, it's not just him. He understands what he doesn't know.
Good point.
That's why he talks to Tom Coughlin 4 a.m. every day. That's why he talks to Marvin Lewis as often as he did. He talks to Tom Telesco and Champ Kelly every single day so that they're on the same page. So if he's talking to front office guys like that, you better believe he's having multiple conversations. They're all on the same page here. So and I get what you were doing. I understand it was rhetorical, but that's why, like, when I see that on the social media outlets or fans calling in saying, you know, calling for this guy's job, doesn't surprise me. And I'm numb to it at this point, but I just move past it and let it, because there is no alternative.
Here's how things can get all distorted. What's the Steelers record?
3-0.
There's this almost notion that Justin Fields has been figured out, right? Some people are saying that because they're looking at the record.
Right.
The Raiders are averaging more points per game than the Steelers. They're just a more kind of a complete team or whatever. They've been able to show up and figure out. And they're, trust me, they're figuring out ways to win games. They're not dominating anybody offensively. Obviously, they're scoring less points, fewer points, as my wife would say. I just got to less is weight. Viewers, you know,
just, I just saw your hand get slapped. Yeah. Proverbial right, hand exactly. Was slapped just now.
Top defense in the league.
Yeah.
You know, that right. Helps. Five turnovers already right. On defense.
Nice. Right. So they're winning by being the best defense in the league, as Clay just astutely pointed out. Thank you for that. And probably figuring it out offensively, just like so many other. The scoring is way down this year again. We saw last night, did the Cowboys actually score a touchdown last night?
Yeah.
Yep.
They did one.
Yeah.
No. I saw a whole bunch of field goals.
Well, Dak had two touchdown passes in the first half.
Did he?
Yeah.
How many points did they score?
20.
Yeah. I saw. You're right. But there were also a lot of field goals. I don't think the Giants scored.
Giants did not score a touchdown.
Giants didn't score a touchdown. A week after playing really well against the Cleveland Browns, their offense is you know, trying to figure it out. So. There's a lot of offense. The Raiders are 17th in the league in scoring right now, which means that, you know, they're right smack in the middle. That's not where they want to be. And obviously the points need to be more. But it just shows you right now that for whatever reason, I don't know why this is, offenses are far behind defenses at this point of the game. The Raiders, unfortunately, are giving up. They're 27th in terms of points given up. That's kind of why it says. And even when you talk about last week, Clay, what was the first thing that happened in that game that gave you like, this might not be good? Was it offense or was it defense?
It was defense. Quick passes to the outside. Defense running. Couldn't get a rush. And next thing you know, your identity, which is based on the defense, couldn't stop anybody on that first drive.
Right. And they never were able to stop the Carolina Panthers, the run or the pass. So. Everyone is fixated on what's not necessarily happening offensively, and I get that. I understand that we're all in my job, in our job, we're talking about it, trying to find answers, trying to figure out a path. That's what the Raiders are doing, and they're building in Henderson. But firing people isn't the answer right now, because if that was the case, there's a whole bunch of other offenses out there that probably would, if that were the right course of action, would be firing their coaches, because the Raiders are actually right smack in the middle when it comes to offenses in the NFL right now.
And as fans, it's always easier to fire a coach than a lot of players. That's just the reality. But when we talk about continuity, we're trying to avoid, as Antonio Pierce called, the roller coaster of the season. Unfortunately, they have not been able to avoid that, because who was it, Clay, that called in and just says, "What a season." It's been 3 weeks. I mean, from low to high, back down to low. I mean,
every emotion has been frayed.
Right? Yeah. It really has 3 weeks in. And, you know, that roller coaster that they're trying to avoid is obviously a tough one. There's plenty of pitfalls and highs throughout a 17-week season in the National Football League. Christian Wilkins, who I think it's fascinating that he speaks on Monday, because typically that's just reserved for the head coach. But this year we're hearing from the star defensive tackle for the Las Vegas Raiders and Christian Wilkins. And I think it's fascinating because you get a player with emotions and the thoughts of the game still replaying pretty vividly in his mind just less than 24 hours later. And he was asked the question about the proverbial roller coaster, how to get off and how to keep things smooth sailing.
Yeah, that's really what it's all about, you know, just being consistent through the, you know, through all things, through the good, the bad, the ugly, just remaining consistent. And even when things don't go your way or do go your way, never get too high, never get too low as a team and as individuals. And, you know, that's really the best way to be able to move forward and just remain consistent throughout the course of the year. You know, because that is, again, the NFL. There's going to be good weeks. There's going to be bad weeks. There's going to be good plays, bad plays. So just remaining consistent, level-headed through it all.
And, again, I don't know what Sunday's going to bring. Mm-hmm. But the reason why I find that bite somewhat notable is because, one, the timing in which, you know, he's talking about the roller coaster and staying consistent. We talk about staying consistent. How do you stay consistent? You don't just fire coaches and assistants, you know, three weeks into a season. But I think it's important because who was the big ticket item this offseason for the Raiders? It was Christian Wilkins.
Yep.
A guy who's done it on the field. He's proven to be a leader. And while we're not in the room, per se, seeing that leadership, we saw it on Hard Knocks with Miami, with the type of leader he is and how he can pull a team and a defense and things like that. And so for him to be talking the way he was talking less than 24 hours when the world was on fire in Raider Nation, when everyone was at their lowest, he's inside the building. He's one of the voices, right? We talk about Max and Devontae, but he's right there, one of the voices, and he's talking about just gotta move on, stay consistent. So the fact that that message, obviously we knew it was going to come from the coaches, but the fact that that message was being boom on those young players, just pounded in their brains that moment, on that day, that early in the day as well, I don't think is not for nothing. I think that there's something there.
Completely agree.
Now, what that turns into Sunday, I have no idea. But when we talk about avoiding the roller coaster, it starts with having a mindset like that and a talk like that from your leaders, because you know if they're saying it to us, it's being said throughout the room.
Right. And I would say just focus less on firing people and focus more on what the actual focus is in that building in Henderson and across the league. Problem solving, finding the answers. The answers are going to have to come from within, because there's no Vince Lombardi is not walking through that door. You're not going to go get, you know, the hotshot new offensive mind in the game to come walking through that door at this very moment. And there's reasons we were talking. Vince and I were talking about this during one of the breaks. Like, put yourself in. I know everyone is looking at Cliff Kingsbury. Raiders should have had Cliff Kingsbury, and to some extent, maybe that is true. But if you're Cliff Kingsbury, and if we're being brutally honest, Vince, mm-hmm. if we're being brutally honest, in January when that all went down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Washington Commanders sitting there with the number two pick in the draft, with obviously, I think by that point, the Bears had made their decision, right? It was going to be Caleb Williams 24/7. It was going to be Caleb Williams. So, and at the worst, I guess, for Cliff Kingsbury, it would be Caleb Williams in Washington if, for whatever reason, the Bears decided to go with Jaden Daniels. One way or another, he was going to either have the quarterback that he was just working with at USC in Caleb Williams, or Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy electrifying quarterback from LSU. If you're Cliff, I know that you gave your verbal agreement to the Raiders, and I know that, you know, this is a sore spot for Raider fans. I get it. But if you're Cliff Kingsbury and I give you a call, Magic Johnson maybe from the Washington Commanders or whoever
Ooh.
It was, that was a real thing, right?
Yeah.
So, hey, want to come here with a chance to work with either Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels?
If Magic is calling my number and it shows up Magic Johnson, that's awesome.
It's not even numbered. It just says Magic Johnson on the ID,
which it does, I think.
That's awesome.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
no,
if you're Cliff, what is the call right there? I'm going to go with the young quarterback.
You're a former head coach who things did not go well in Arizona, mm-hmm. and you were kind of lambasted for it a little bit,
right?
And a lot of the blame went on your shoulders.
You got fired.
Yeah, obviously, but like right. the blame for the lack of growth, you know, was on his shoulders, especially for a guy who came in as supposed to be quarterback whisperer, you know, this creative guy, like different things, da da da. So when you're sitting, like, how do I get fast tracked back to a head coaching job? I mean, the answer is it's completely understandable why he did what he
right.
did when he says, okay, the Raiders quarterback situation is completely out of sorts. In terms of a long-term answer,
yeah.
or I can go to Washington where I'm going to get a franchise caliber quarterback to work with.
Right.
I know that it goes back to the fans' mindset are different than what we talk about. We understand why that decision is made. Fans get upset because, you rejected me? I asked you to homecoming. You right. said verbal yes, and then I show up at your door, and you're already at the auditorium? Nah.
Right.
Like, of course I'm going to be mad at Cliff Kingsbury.
But to take it a step further, there's this notion that they let Cliff slip through their fingers, when I don't think that there was really even – we've already articulated that wasn't a decision.
It's not fishing. It's not like they weren't able to reel him in because, you know –
What were they going to be able to offer that was more compelling than Washington?
I think sometimes people will look at the weapons instead of the quarterback, wouldn't you want to work with Devontae? Well, yeah, sure. but there's another component here that I'm going to be more focused on, and I don't need to worry about Devontae. I need to worry about the quarterback.
And if you're Cliff Kingsbury, you're like, didn't Josh McDaniels work with Devontae? What happened to him? He got fired. Why? Because the quarterback play was not up to standard. There were other.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like,
yeah, I don't know what the pitch was from the Raiders. It doesn't matter because the only person it matters is Cliff Kingsbury, and his perspective is sitting there saying, okay, do I want to start with a rookie franchise level type quarterback, or do I want to go to a place and try and reinvent somebody, which would do well for my career if I could sit there and say, hey, I made Aiden O'Connell from this to that, or elevated from him to here. That's his perspective. Again, from where we sit, it's not a shocking thing that he left, or he never arrived, but the fact that he never signed the dotted line and chose to go to Washington. So, again, it goes back to the continuity thing, right? Goes back to continuity, and it's not just a mindset. It's a physical thing as well, especially in a game. Like we saw in the Baltimore game, the Raiders, while they didn't necessarily do what they wanted to do, they stuck with it.
Right.
Gardner Minshew was able to stick with it enough to make enough plays to come out and win. He was asked, earlier this week about, the highs and lows of not just a season, but within a game as well.
Yeah, no, obviously it's tough. But I think that's something you build as a team. You know, you build that belief that no matter what's going to happen, you're going to find a way to win. And I felt like we had that kind of through the game. You know, even when we scored that, touchdown to make it 15 to whatever, I think everybody still had like energy, like, hey, why not? Let's keep taking chances. But I think that's what the great teams do, man. The great teams are able to, whatever the adversity, whatever the situation, are going to believe they're going to win and find a way. That's what we got to do.
That was Raiders quarterback Gardner Minshew. The Nation won't like me bringing this up, but you look at a team like Kansas City. They're not playing well. They're 3-0.
Right.
Like they're finding different ways to stay when things aren't going well in a game. They still find it, and again, that's a completely extreme on an elite level tier franchise.
Stay on that point though, because even Andrew Reid will tell you that first part of the season, it's never going to be the same 1 year to the next. There's personnel, losses, coaches move on to better opportunities. You know, there's never going to be true continuity, right? In terms of the personnel. So Andy Reid will tell you that the first month of the season for us is no different than the first month of the season for anyone else. You're still trying to figure out, of this iteration of the team that I'm working with, what are their strengths, what are the weaknesses, who can I rely on? And even with you just said the perfect thing, they're figuring out ways to win games, right?
That's all that matters. That's all it comes down to. Everyone has a game plan until you get punched in the face, says Mike Tyson. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the Raiders had a plan all summer. Run the ball. Be physical. Win the point of attack. Haven't done it.
That's not happening, so they got to figure out a way to win in spite of that.
But the glimmer of hope, the light, which I keep going back to, and that this team has to go back to, is despite all that, they were able to find a way to win in Baltimore.
Now just figure out ways to do that more often. And it's a
game-by-game basis.
Exactly. And there is the hope, Vince, that this run game is not going to look like this in late October. Maybe that's all of a sudden.
In 2 weeks in Denver. Who knows?
Exactly. We saw that last year over the last four games of last season. So it can – and look, you just said Deshaun Watson. Like I said, this offense for the Cleveland Browns, does it even worry you? What's the first thing you talked about?
Talent.
of
Deshaun Watson.
Because even though he hasn't done it, there's always the real possibility that he will turn it around.
Yeah, he has shown it. And while things have been disarray in Cleveland, he's still Deshaun Watson. He is still an elite athlete with his legs, and he's got an absolute cannon to throw it. Decision-making, all that stuff, that happens within a game. But like when you talk about the pure talent of a player who was arguably a top-five quarterback in Houston.
Which is why you're worried as an opponent that at any given moment that might all of a sudden turn around. And it is possible. It's totally within reason. In fact, we're kind of surprised.
We saw it last week.
We're surprised
in Andy Dalton.
We're surprised that it hasn't happened right now for Deshaun Watson. And going back to the Raiders running game, it's entirely possible that will start looking like the way the Raiders wanted it to look. So don't abandon hope just yet, and don't start firing coaches because of that. The great teams, the well-run organizations, figure out the answers from within. They don't fire coaches left and right. They say, okay, what's the problem?
They don't look
and
at
how
problems.
Do we fix it?
Yeah, they don't look at problems. They find solutions. Clay, stop firing coaches.
Coaches, when you have that many coordinators, it's not the coordinator's fault. You know, you have to start taking a look at if the results are the same and you keep flushing coordinators in and out, it's not all on the coordinators.
That's a great point.
It's personnel. 702-365-9200. Don't forget, on Sunday, Q's kickoff kicks it off here on Raider Nation Radio, live from Allegiant Stadium, and then Raiders pregame begins at 11:30 here on your Sunday for Raider Nation Radio. Also, in this hour, we'll give you a chance to win $400, Nevada residents only for the Paul Padilaw Pick'em Contest, where you pick three winners straight up on this week's NFL card, and you walk away with $400 cold hard cash. We'll do that coming up next. We'll give you our slate of games for you to pick from here on Raider Nation Radio.
Come on. There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow.
Absolute goosebumps, Clay. You did it again.
You gotta feel it.
There is no tomorrow. God, that's great stuff. That is great. That is what we need. We need that Saturday night.
Wait.
We do. We need
UNLV
a run on the beach.
UNLV is hosting Fresno State tomorrow. There's no tomorrow? What are you guys talking about? Huge game, by the way, at Allegiant Stadium. What do you think is going to happen?
I think UNLV is going to explode on offense.
I think
this team, right, wrong, or indifferent, I don't care who's right, who's wrong in terms of the team or SLU. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about with this team. In terms of rallying around Malik Williams, I expect them to air it out.
What?
That go-go offense is going to go long.
I would love to see that. Love it. Maybe leaning a little bit toward your direction, but man, when you're talking about 21, 22, that is the least other
predictable.
Than if you're Alabama, you know, teams like that. By the way, I was talking to Brock Bowers yesterday about Alabama-Georgia tomorrow. It's a no-brainer.
It's a big one.
It's Georgia's going to win that game, you told me. So we'll see. Yeah, very big game. But I don't know. When you're talking about emotions and what's been going on and being in the eye of the storm for the wrong reasons, as UNLV is right now, changing your quarterback. We saw Circa and Derek Stevens, right? He was offering $100,000 to bring the kid back, and that's, I guess, against some rules and stuff like that. So that's not going to happen. But I would like to think.
Derek's like, I got this money in my pocket.
Derek's like, what do you need?
I got that on me.
How 100,000? Much was it?
That's right.
Are you missing a zero there? Because I can. Are you sure?
Right.
What?
You want me to Zelle it to you? How do you want?
You got Venmo? What's the? But you talk about
I don't know,
a
though.
Group of kids. There is no tomorrow, Rock. You talk about kids that are easily inspired. One movie will set their hair on fire. I'm excited what UNLV is about to put on the field.
I am too, and I think the happiest guy in the world is Ricky White. This was a guy that was. This is an NFL wide receiver. Make no bones about that. He's on the Senior Bowl list. He's a preseason All-American list, and through no fault of his own, and only because for as dynamic of an athlete as Sluka is, he has some trouble throwing the ball. Let's just say that. And I was at that game, and I'm like, whoa, this guy is very challenged in terms of the actual throwing of the ball. Whereas the backup, Malik, who this was a fierce quarterback battle, right? It wasn't really, there was a lot of question, and there was actually some talk, wasn't there, Vince, about maybe alternating them in games?
Yeah. Yeah, so, that was on the table.
It's not like, oh my gosh, they're going to the redshirt freshman who's never played. This guy was a quarterback and a very good one at Campbell University who transferred in, as did Sluka from Holy Cross. So it's not like they're I don't believe that they're in some dire situation. There's a lot of reasons to believe that his offense can be even better with him at quarterback. And I think Ricky's like, okay, I got somebody finally that could throw the ball. So I will predict this. I think Ricky White's going to have a big game tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that whole offense, Clay, is going to feel,
that would be great.
Feel nice.
How would you
we
feel
know like- they can run the ball. See, that's the thing. Like, you can run the ball and still, you know, find a way to, you know, control the game at least.
And it's not like this guy can't run the ball either, right, Clay? He's if you look at the tape from Campbell, I saw him running around.
Yeah, I mean, he's an athlete.
Yeah.
No doubt. Barry Odom's going to have that group fired up. But, yeah, yeah, talk about burying the lead. Derek, I mean, if we're just writing checks, like, morning tailgate.
Can you imagine if that deal went through? Yeah, the line outside fund. Derek's office.
Oh my God, the amount of.
But also, like, it kind of puts in perspective that if it came down to something, you know, like money and NIL, and
it did,
and if it was really, you know, something of a priority for UNLV, wouldn't they have handled it? You know, they probably already feel like, you know what, we feel very strongly this other guy can fill your position quite neatly, and we don't need to go down this road.
Right, like exactly, like if this was, you know, somebody that they're like, we cannot win games without this guy right here. How much did you say you needed? You know, and
as much pressure is on them to go forward, and because they're off to a 3-0 start, wouldn't they feel like, hey, our quarterback is our answer? They feel like as strongly about Malik as they do Haj Malik as they did with Sluka. So I love how the reaction was, like, go ahead and leave then.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. He's like, you know, the kid felt like he had a little bit of a juice, a little bit of leverage, and he went in there and found out that, well, whatever leverage that you think you have right now,
take that power back.
You don't.
Take that power elsewhere.
Yeah. So it's going to be a great. I'm totally
excited.
Looking
like
forward
I said,
to that game.
I said at the top of the show, I'm excited for the weekend ahead. A lot of questions FS1. Everywhere. Mm-hmm. I'm a lot. But hey, time to make some money.
Time to make some money. All right, here we go. It's Raider Nation Radio's Pro Pick'em Challenge here on R&R 920. Brought to you by Paul Padilla. $400 on the line.
400 bones.
We're going to give our games. All you got to do is just pick the straight up winner. Forget about the spreads, no totals, no teasers. That's for kindergartners. This is straight up. Oh, you have to pick 3-0. Felix Duran got close to the brass ring. He went 2-1 last week. Sorry, Felix.
Sorry, Felix. So, and specifically, I'm real sorry, Felix. I'm sorry.
These things happen.
I'm going to be better.
All right. Who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Okay. All right. Vinny is kicking us off.
I'm going right back to the Vikings, and they're at the Packers. We mentioned it a little bit earlier. The Vikings now going to Lambeau Field. Not quite sure yet, right, what the Packers quarterback situation is. Do we know if Jordan Love is playing or not? No, that's still up in the air. So one way or another, either the Vikings and Brian Flores, that defense, and by the way, their offense is pretty darn good too, with Sam Darnold, and I think the world of Kevin O'Connell, their great young head coach. I feel like the Vikings are in a really good position right now, and in a good position against the Packers. Whether it's Jordan Love, who will probably not be 100%, or if it's again Malik Willis. I think Brian Flores, once again, will have something up his sleeve for the Packers offense. And I think the Vikings offense, Aaron, the running back for the
former. Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones, who's been really good for the Vikings. Going back to Lambeau Field, you don't think that he's a little bit motivated. So I'm going to go with the Vikings in this game.
Aaron Jones might be the best back in the league right now all around.
Right.
So he's actually having a heck of a season. Was that one of your four? Full transparency, Clay said he had four that he felt good about. Was that one of them?
No, it wasn't.
Ooh,
no.
But so that yours are all on the table.
Yeah, they're raw still, okay.
All right, then I'll go next.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the duel in the desert.
Oh, good game.
Commanders, Cardinals. As we all saw in prime time, Jaden Daniels had his coming out party, had his welcome to the NFL moment. Mm-hmm. And now he goes back to the state where he started his collegiate career with a one Antonio Pierce. Going up Cliff Kingsbury, going back home.
Huge.
You don't think he's been scheming up this week, slicing and dicing that tape against Arizona to the wee hours of the night?
Knows the personnel.
Mm-hmm. Boy, Cardinals are favorites in this one. I know we're not doing spreads or totals, but Cardinals are the flavor in this one. But I'm going Commanders. As Jaden Daniels continues his emergence and dominance in the National Football League.
I love it.
Be careful with that one.
Vikings, Packers, Commanders, Cards. My game, Steelers, Colts. I'm just in love with what the Steelers are doing on offense. They've been just gathering turnovers, just sweltering, forcing teams into being one-dimensional on offense. And now they're in Indianapolis, which could be a very difficult place to play for anybody. However, I think I like the Steelers on this only because the Colts have already given up 6 turnovers on offense, and the Steelers have been very opportunistic. I like Steel City in this one.
Yeah, just to clarify, you like what they're doing defensively?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you said offensively for the Steelers. I
said offensively for the Colts. They are they've given up 6 turnovers already this year.
Yeah,
and that's problematic when you've got a team like the Steelers now.
Right, for sure. And they're definitely, like you said, they're the number one defense in the league. I was actually surprised when you said that. But that makes a whole lot of sense. So,
4-0 Steelers, Clay?
Can you imagine? Yep. With no
Russell Wilson.
Right, and no real competition in the AFC North, like you would normally have.
That's a bizarro world division right now.
Hey, and the Bengals, we didn't pick this game. This is not one of the games, but Bengals this week going into Carolina. The Red Hot Panthers like, staring at 0-4.
Right. Like, and it's.
When you look at the standings in the North, it's bizarro world right now. You got the Steelers who are 3-0 doing nothing offensively and winning games from, defensively. The Bengals 0-3 right now at the bottom of the pack. And then, in the middle, you got the Browns and the Ravens. What do you think the chances are that completely reverses by the end of the season?
Pretty high.
Yeah, about 9 out of 10 times.
Maybe not the Steelers falling last place, but the Bengals overtaking them.
Reversal of fortune? Yes, yeah. I see that.
If the Steelers somehow drop to third in the division at the end of the year, I would not be surprised.
It's just not sustainable right now. Their offense is junk.
4-0! That a baby, Clay.
All right, here it is. Be caller number 9. You get a chance to go up against the $400 from the Paul Pata Pick'em. Vikings, Packers, Commanders, Cards, Steelers, Colts. Those are your games. Give us the straight up winners here on Raider Nation Radio. We'll take your calls next here on R&R 920. $400 on the line.
Ooh.
We do it every Friday thanks to Paul Pata Law, the Tailgate Pick'em. We got 3 games outlined for Raiders 66 from Las Vegas, who's joining the fray. 66, good morning to you. How do you feel right now? Are the palms sweaty? Can you smell the money?
Yes, I can smell the money, and yes, my palms are sweaty.
Good. Well, that's requirements.
Yes. Good morning, guys.
Hey, morning.
People think that us here in Las Vegas, it's all we do is gamble and stuff like that. And 20 years ago, my wife and I moved here. You know, we did our fair share, especially on football, because you figured you know football and stuff. But
always.
I soon realized that I was not betting on the games. I was donating. And so at that point, I say, I might as well just quit. So I haven't really bet in several years, but I just enjoy watching the games. I have a lot of people at work that do, and they win lots of money. So I'm tempted to do it from time to time, but we'll give it a shot here.
All right. Here we go. Vinny's first game. Is Vikings Packers. All you got to do is pick the straight up winner. Forget spreads, no totals. Vikings at the Packers.
Yeah, it seems like it should be so easy. And I agree. I like what Brian Flores is doing there. And who's got a bigger chip on his shoulder than Brian Flores? Getting unceremoniously taken to task in the on the media. So I like what they're doing. And Justin Jefferson, how can you go against him? I know it's in Lambeau, but I'm going to go with the Vikings in that one. And I never thought that I would be going with a team quarterback by what's his name?
Well done. All right. Vince Sapienza's game. It's Commanders Cardinals.
Yes, in the desert. Yeah, and again, we've got somebody with something to prove against a former team, and Cliff Kingsbury. And so I tell you, what would have happened if we'd have been able to make that pick swap and gotten Jaden Daniels on the Raiders? Yeah, I like what he's doing. I like Daniels' enthusiasm and his talent, and I like that Kingsbury is looking to get back at his old team. So I'm going with Washington.
All right, you have the Vikings, you have the Commanders. What do you like about Steelers at the Colts?
Steelers at the Colts. Well, there's not a lot to like. I keep waiting for the Steelers to fall apart, but they just keep finding a way to win, and I want my Raiders to be in that same mindset. I think that the defense, and I think Anthony Richardson is so prone to making these young mistakes the quarterbacks make. So I'm going to go, unfortunately, against my better judgment with the defense and the Steelers, and hope that they can score just enough points again.
Vikings, Commanders, Steelers. From the Chronicler of Raider Nation, it's Raider 66. We wish you the best of luck and hope you're $400 richer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Let's go, Raiders 66. That was a great lead-in you had, too.
Doesn't that get you, man? Jim Fossil, the prediction from 2000, and it worked.
What?
That rallied everybody on that team. And
you know, I did a story with him. On that,
yeah,
it must have been an anniversary. I forget.
Oh, great!
It was, and he just. I remember. I replayed his speech back to him.
You know, he's always kind of bullish about that
and
too.
He was watching it, and you know, we did it multiple times, getting different angles of him watching it. Right, and the best one that we ever got was he's sitting. And it was the first one because I wanted to get his first reaction to watching it the first time.
Right.
And he's just sitting back, leaning, laughing. Oh, it was just you could tell how fondly he was like, "Yeah, put a lot on line, Matt."
And I cut off the prediction. This is the what he's like. You know, if you want in, you would get in.
I'm raising the ante. Anybody wants in, get in. Anybody wants out, get out. Okay, this team is going to the playoffs.
I mean, and it worked. Kerry Collins started playing good. Everybody started rolling. That was an awesome run to go up against the Baltimore Ravens.
It was incredible. And, you know, at first, when I first started hearing that, it took me a second to remember what it was. You know who he sounds like? Jake Taylor from Major League. Sounds like when Jake Taylor is in the clubhouse with the rest of the guys giving his speech. Play it again. Play that again.
That's so
good. Sounds just like Jake
Taylor.
This
is Tom Berenger as the Giants head coach.
So if you got the crosshairs, you got the... Wow. You got the laser, you can put it right on my chest. I'll take full responsibility. I'm raising the stakes right now. This is a poker game. I'm shoving my chips to the middle of the table. I'm raising the ante. Anybody wants in, get in. Anybody wants out, get out.
Is that not spot on?
Wow.
Where along the line in the season did that occur?
There was, I think it was week 8 or week 9.
That was the year that they went on a roll and got on the wild card, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the Giants have been prone to do that. Because even in the Coughlin years, at least one of the times they won the Super Bowl, that was a wild card situation, right? Or maybe even both the times that they beat
beat the Patriots. I think that
twice.
Was, yeah, I think that.
I think both were they both were they wild cards both times.
It feels like that because they had to face each other in the final game of the regular season, and it was like
a barn burner.
It was a barn burner. I think the Patriots even in that game was like a 9-point favorite or double digit favorite, and the Giants were just playing to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, and right,
so must have been
somehow
a wild card.
Some way they still made the playoffs, and the Patriots finished that season 16-0.
They were 7-4 when he made that speech.
There you go.
Okay, all right.
They were 7-4, but he particular was under heavy scrutiny at the time from the New York media.
Always, right?
Oh yeah, I guess that's kind of it's right. It's a redundant statement because you're always in that market.
But in particular, that year he was.
And I'll never forget being in his office here in Vegas, watching him watch his speech back. Some odd years later, man.
He's thinking to himself, you silver tongue.
And now I'm sitting here thinking he's Jake Taylor. I'm thinking he was in Major League now.
Yeah, going to call out Roger Dorn for tanking the play.
Roger Dorn. Where are we at in the show? I would be remiss if we did not announce a little breaking news. Las Vegas Raiders running back Alexander Mattison, the Week 4 NFL Players Association Community MVP.
Oh, that's awesome.
He created a VIP game day experience for two families this past week, which featured obviously passes to the game, mm-hmm. meet and greets, and a $1,000 donation to each household.
That's really strong. His I Am Gifted Foundation is very busy. You know what I mean?
It's amazing. Yeah. That's an in-season project he was a part of, helped facilitate. We had how many weeks ago talking about his I Am Gifted, and mm-hmm. he did a shopping spree for kids at the Caesars Forums. School supplies 4 or 5 weeks ago. I mean, this, it's in his DNA. Every stop he's been, San Bernardino, where he's from, Boise State in college, and every stop in the NFL, Minnesota and here, he's continues to give back. So I wanted to make sure we give a good shout out. Congratulations to the NFLPA community MVP, Alexander Mattison.
All right. Coming up next, it's Chris Thomas, former Super Bowl champion, wide receiver with the 99 Rams. He joins us next, and we'll also go around the nation in college football with Tim Murray. He joins us at 925. It's Raider Nation Radio.